I'm Jason Stein, publisher of Automotive News, and this is Daily Drive. It's Thursday, August 6th. Whether you're a large or a small volume brand, it's not easy trying to navigate the waters of the current state of the industry. It's even more challenging when you're trying to rebuild a brand, stock a product pipeline, and reemerge as a contender in this ultra-competitive automotive market. But Kimberly Gardner is undeterred in her pursuit to place Mitsubishi back in the hearts and minds of potential consumers. Her so-called small batch approach is anything but conventional marketing. She's committed to creating a new path for the brand as it attempts to grow its consumer base and expand into some new areas. And her marketing approach is unique, and her will is unquestioned. So how does Mitsubishi approach today's situation, and where are they pushing the edges? And what will an eventual full move to Nashville mean for the automaker and its teammates? We've reached Chief Marketing Officer Kimberly Gardner in Southern California.
Hi there, Kimberly. How are you?
I'm good. How are you doing, Jason?
Doing well. Last we spoke, you were one of our guests for our World Congress conversations, which seems like a lifetime ago because that was 2 months ago.
It does seem like a lifetime ago.
Yeah, let's start with where you are as we creep towards, amazingly, near the end of summer. And I'm guessing that where we are today is even very different than where you thought we would be. But give us an update if you could.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, a couple of months ago when we last spoke, we thought this would probably be something where we would need to be flexible and, you know, pivot over the next few weeks, maybe the next few months. And it certainly feels like in our industry and many others that, okay, this is going to be a longer pivot, right? This is going to be a situation where we're going to have to, I think, you know, month by month, really revisit and relook at where we are. And I think what I find interesting at this moment is that, you know, we're all, I think, personally and professionally looking for some certainty and looking for, I guess, some stability. But I think, too, what we're also seeing, and I'm really so pleased with our dealers, I think with dealers in general, you know, across the industry, is there's so much resilience. You know, here dealers are, you know, coming back and doing things differently. They're embracing digital more. They're, pivoting and trying to figure out, okay, you know, we thought this might be just a temporary situation, some challenges and some setbacks, but it feels like across the board and the way they operate service and sales and their teams that we're hearing more and more, you know, positive ways that they're really trying to be resilient and really pivot, you know, during this time. And that gives me some optimism, I think, for not even just for now, but I think, you know, beyond the COVID world that we're in. Because I think it's going to make us a stronger industry. I think it's going to make us a more resilient, a more dynamic, and hopefully a more interesting kind of opportunity for young people to look at our industry and say, you know, they made it through this, they transformed, and they really, I think, are an interesting industry in terms of future talent pools to consider.
The creativity that you need during this time, as a marketer that's going through various phases of this pandemic, the initial lockdown, the recovery, and now a resurgence of the virus. How creative do you and your team have to be in order to send the right messages at the right time, in some cases, in regions that are in very different positions right now?
Great question. And again, I think when this all started, we had our comms planning, you know, daily updates, trying to make sure everyone on the team was aware of, you know, here's all the things that we're doing for our dealers, the messaging and social, what other OEMs are doing in terms of their messaging to make sure that we're very much in keeping with what consumers are kind of seeing out there and the tone feels right. And I think now all these weeks and months literally later, now it's really, I think, about how do we have multiple playbooks? Right. We had a playbook or two. Being a smaller brand, we've always got to be ready to pivot, right? Be extra scrappy and kind of nimble. But now we have multiples. So, you know, we're really leaning in the summer in terms of road trips and people kind of having, you know, a little bit of enjoyment as best they can, no matter where they are in the country. And, you know, having the car is kind of like we talked about, you know, a few months ago, that respite, that place where you feel safe, you feel like you're socially distanced. You can actually get out and, you know, see some scenery, get out of your home. And now that we've been, you know, some of us have been cooped up in our homes for some period of time, it's just, it's nice to get away and do it in a safe manner. So you know, we have that playbook. We have the, you know, people that are in market that are looking for, you know, features, that are looking for safety, that are looking for certain things, they're looking for good value. You know, how do we sell cars, but we feel like we're giving people, you know, options in terms of, not just your typical, here's another sales event message. So a lot of that leaning into road trips, getting out there, enjoying time with your friends and family. And I think, you know, that these playbooks are going to be something that we're going to have to figure out, how to have multiples, like I said, for, you know, quite a while to come. I think we've always been a brand that, because again, we're small, we always think nimbly, we think scrappy, we think, you know, ready to pivot. We can do that month by month. We can do that week by week if we need to. But I think all marketers are really in that position because you really have to react, like you said, based on where people are in the country, where they are locally, what they feel comfortable with, what they don't, and make sure you try to understand more about where your customers are coming from now more than ever.
What are your customers telling you in response to some of your marketing messages, and what's really resonating out there for you as a marketer?
Well, I think, you know, as a 100-plus-year-old brand, we have a heritage, right? We have a history. I've been fascinated by, you know, people kind of longing for travel. They're longing for, you know, kind of the good old days, whatever you want to call it, you know, kind of in the 90s and the 2000s, especially with our brand. I think there's this nostalgia. And we've seen this, you know, in other industries too, that, you know, people kind of, you know, remembering how things were when they were younger, and the world was a little bit simpler. And I think there's something interesting in that as a marketer, where you can really, I think, why do we need to have things that are so complicated? You know, when I mean by that is website information and features and functions and benefits. And we've kind of had this talk about a playbook, right? We've had a playbook and how we talk about cars, how we help you shop for a car for a very long time. How do we just make that maybe a little bit less burdensome and a little bit more fun and a little bit more about confidence and, you know, convenience and really take it at your own pace? It's about, you know, how to make things a little more simple, I think, now more than ever, because that's what I hear consumers longing for, you know, and wanting to get back to, I don't know if it's a new normal, but just a sense of, being able to enjoy life a little bit more.
Absolutely agreed. Amen to that. When you look at the digitization of your retail network or retailers in general, as we talk now a couple of months after our last conversation at World Congress Conversations, is it surprising to you just how fast the retail networks in general have moved into this digital world?
I think as somebody who's been hoping for a moment of digital transformation to come, I've been surprised. At the same time, I've been so, you know, impressed by not only, you know, our dealers, like I said, but across the board. I think there has been maybe a little bit of a reluctance and an unwillingness necessarily for some dealers to look at their customers and say, hey, look, you know, they prefer it this way. They're happy coming into the store. They, you know, they like traditional media. They kind of fall into a different demographic than a lot of what our industry has been talking about for the last several years, which is how do we reach those millennials, right? How do we reach Gen Z? And, you know, I think now we've realized and we've looked across the board and, you know, e-commerce is something and digitization, of retail is something that really all industries have had to quickly get their heads around, regardless if your customer base was there or not, because it's just a function of doing business now. You need to be able to be much, much more flexible. And as states are opening up or maybe pulling back, you know, it's such a flux kind of a situation that we're in that, you know, I think that dealers are finally seeing that digital, regardless if it's digital in terms of your marketing, in terms of your sales process, in terms of your service process, in terms of your loyalty, it's much easier to pivot when you're in a digital world. You can adjust, you can tweak literally by the hour, by the customer, by the message, right? You know, by the situation that you're in. It's just so much easier to be targeted with the right moments and do the right thing and be able to say, okay, something's changed and now we need to pivot. And it's just 1,001 times easier to do that when you're more digitally minded because that's what digital is there for, right? It's meant to be flexible. It's meant to be very personal. And I think as dealers are seeing some of the benefits of that and seeing customers that are migrating that way, again, regardless if they're younger customers or older customers, especially older customers, I should say, because they're the ones that are having to embrace these things, you know, Amazon deliveries and all kinds of stuff more than ever now because they just have to. It's just the world that we live in. And I think that's where the light bulb goes off with dealers to say, look, I can be more flexible. I can meet the customer where they are. And I can pivot and I can, you know, really look at this on a day-by-day basis, a week-by-week basis, and I can be much more effective and a lot more efficient too.
Speaking of pivoting, Mitsubishi has had to pivot to a new location, and you're in the midst of still trying to pivot to your new location.
I am indeed.
So yeah. We're reaching you from Southern California today, but I know Nashville is the future. Tell me how important Tennessee is for Mitsubishi going forward in its move to a new headquarters.
Yeah, I mean, the timing has been interesting. I think, you know, when we made the move, our employees from California started to do that in December. And then in the weeks following and hiring up lots and lots of people on the ground in Nashville, and then COVID hits and, you know, we still kept hiring. We still kept moving along that path. And Nashville has been such a fantastic move for the company. I think it's in alignment with the brand itself. You know, we're a more, just a more down-to-earth brand. We're smaller. You know, we think in a really nimble, challenger kind of a fashion. And I feel like there's this energy, even with COVID, of resilience and excitement and, you know, a sense of just wanting to just appreciate the simple things, you know, outdoor living and music and just these things that I think Nashville is so great for. So I think it's a fantastic fit for Mitsubishi where it is. It's a fresh start. I have a whole new team. I have a couple of my folks that came out from California, but the vast majority of them are all brand new, and many of them are new to the industry, and that's across the board for the entire company. And that helps us make a pivot and helps us kind of transform who we are as a brand. Because we have people that are asking the questions, I've never worked in auto before. How does this work? And you know, what does this mean? And what does this stand for? All these acronyms, right, that the industry has. And so it really, you know, many of them came from digital native brands or, you know, just local advertising agencies and, you know, all over the place. And they're asking really great questions that I think if you don't have the background in automotive, just seems to be something you would ask anyway. Why does it have to be 5 steps? Why can't it be 2? That's how it was at my, you know, small little company. I love that because I think, you know, it allows us to keep what's been working and allows us to change what maybe not been working and be inspired by, you know, new, fresh thinking like that. And I think that it's easier to do that when you make that kind of a move. And I think that we've seen the talent in Nashville just, you know, open-minded, really embracing, trying to do things differently.
Where are you hiring from that's outside auto?
Really all over the place. Financial services, healthcare, advertising, like I said before, consumer packaged goods. I've also had a couple of new hires come from New York who were in data and tech and, you know, liked what they were doing, but they were ready for a change. And they kind of see Nashville as it's a little slower paced. It's a little more calm. And, you know, these are not people that are settling down anytime soon. They're younger folks that are just wanting something a bit different and refreshing. And I think that, again, Nashville has that great energy, no matter what age you are. And they see it as a, you know, it's a nice pool of future opportunity and talent and all kinds of good stuff.
And perhaps getting out of the dense urban centers, which we've heard a lot about.
Absolutely, especially from New York. You know, I think it's just, you know, and again, we talked about this a few months ago, that I think there's a real reevaluation that consumers, that just people are going through, right? You're reevaluating everything and what's important to you, right? What are those trade-offs that you want to make? How far do I want to travel? You know, what should my kids do in terms of school, or all kinds of different things that we're all kind of navigating and going through. And I think it really forces you to reevaluate lots of things. And it's, you know, a lot of us have traveled or moved, I should say, to locations for jobs. But now in this world where you can potentially work from home, if not all the time, then for a good chunk of time in your role, depending on where you are, or where you work, I should say. But that allows so many more opportunities to open up from a talent pool perspective. And for people that have said, well, why do I need to live in New York? If my company allows me to work from home, I can be, you know, anywhere. And I think that is so exciting for our industry. I think that, you know, we're at a time when we need a whole, we need a new wave of talent coming in, not just younger people that, you know, in terms of Gen Y and Z and all that, but I just think across the board that as we're going through a transformation like this, having an industry that can be more open to different perspectives and bringing in people that have had retail but maybe not auto, or financial planning but not auto, or marketing but not, you know, auto marketing, I think that there's a core skill set there, but there's also a difference of perspective that I think will rejuvenate and re-energize the industry. And hopefully, you know, it's not just like, how do we go back to where we were, but now it's how do we go forward in a way where people are excited to get that car. They're excited to drive, right? They look forward to a different type of relationship with a car that doesn't feel like it's either, you know, I like my car or I don't, you know, autonomous driving or, you know, my old clunker. It's like, you know, it's going to mean different things for different people. But I am excited by the fact that I want people to say, you know what, automotive is a great industry to be in, to contribute to, and to be part of that future, because everything is changing. And we need people that want to lean into that change and help us navigate it.
Well, we wish you luck on your big change when you are able to move to Tennessee, and good luck in that house hunt as well.
Definitely.
Great. Thank you, Kimberly.
Thank you.
We've reached Kimberly Gardner in Southern California. And that's Daily Drive for Thursday, August 6th. For breaking news, go to autonews.com. And for a library of more than 100 stories, go to autonews.com/dailydrive. We'll be back Friday.